I want to speak today on a day of remembrance. And my text is from the first chapter of the Philippian letter. If you'd like to follow me along, it's a page 1022. Verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And my text is verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Let us pray silently for a moment. In Christ's name, amen. The 1600s was a difficult time for the church in England. Oliver Cromwell had come to power and he began to destroy the churches. He focused particularly upon, as you would imagine, the Anglican church, because his perception that the Anglican church and the British crown were in cahoots with one another. So he began to trash churches, destroying baptismal fonts, casting aside things that were precious and sacred in the life of the church. And hidden away in a corner of England, a man dared to build a church. In Harold Church, Staunton, England, a church was built. And there is an inscription in a corner of that church that reads, in the year 1653, when all things sacred were throughout this nation destroyed or profaned, this church was built to the glory of God by Sir Robert Shirley, whose singular praise it was to have done the best things in the worst time. To have done the best things in the worst times. Since 1919, in November of that year, this church has been doing the best of things in good times and in bad. Through the administration of 15 presidents, this church has been in business for Jesus Christ. Through 5 wars, World Wars I and II, the Korean War, Desert Storm, and the Vietnam War. We have been doing the best of things through the good times and through times of challenge. 2 presidents of the United States have spoken from the pulpit of this church, Presidents Ford and Carter. 5 persons have served as the pastor of this church in its 75 years. 2 of those pastors' combined years of service mark 52 years of its history. We have been on an exciting journey, a journey that has witnessed many events and many happenings. This church was worshiping and working when Charles Lindbergh flew the Spirit of St. Louis across the Atlantic Ocean. This church was at work when Roger Maris hit 61 home runs. And this church was at work and is at work in 1994 when Billy Graham held a crusade in this city. Through tragedy and triumphs, through assassinations and depressions, through progress and peril, we have been striving to be and continuing to be a community of love and a community of hope. And on this day of remembrance, we lift our voices to give thanks to God for his love and for his steadfast companionship as we have been making our way. Now, the text of the morning is from my favorite letter written by the Apostle Paul. It is the letter of a pastor who loved his people. And there is a tender and joyous tone to this letter. And the particular words that I read in your hearing seem to me to summarize the spirit of the moment as we celebrate 75 years. He simply says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. And so for a few minutes now, I want to lift up three great words as we celebrate together. The first word, obviously, is gratitude. That is the most appropriate point at which to begin. Looking around us and beyond us at what is being accomplished and what is yet to be accomplished, there is no more appropriate thing for us to say today than to simply say, thank you. It is very clear and should be that others have labored and have done so for many years, and those of us who are here today have entered into their labors. The reality is that 40% of the current membership of this church has joined in the last 5 years. 4,232 of us, to be exact. Of the original 75 charter members, none of them remain. All have been promoted to the church triumphant. The legacy that speaks to us today echoes the words of John Ruskin, who said, when we build, let us think we build forever. Let it not be for present delight, nor present use alone. Let it be such work as our descendants will thank us for, and let us think, as we lay on stone, that a time will come when these stones will be held sacred, because your hands and mine have touched them, and that men and women will say, as they look upon our labors, see, this our fathers and mothers did for us. It is obvious that through toil and tension, through success and sadness, through doubt and difficulty, that those who came before us kept the promises, and their voices from yesterday called to us saying, go forward, reach forth, enlarge all of your capacities for witness and for service. It is, as George Buttrick once said, the thoughtful person is ever dissatisfied with moderate joys and shortened goals. Our quest here at Peachtree is not just for something. It is for something greater, something finer, something stronger. Our heritage demands it. Jesus Christ expects it. It is a day for gratitude, to be sure, but it's also a day for community. I love the words from the morning lesson where Paul describes the relationship that he has had with the people of Philippi, saying it brought him joy. The reality of, quote, their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. There was a genuine appreciation between pastor and people, and a genuine partnership. And I must say that I have felt that since the first day I came to be your pastor. We have been in loving one another, seeking together to create a community of caring, which the church at its finest always comes to be. At the heart of the great seal of the Peachtree Church, there is a simple inscription, a church that cares. We care about each other. We care about others and any who need us. In the words of the Bible, we love because He first loved us. You know, the Christian faith is not a faith that is lived out in isolation. It is a faith that is practiced in a community of believers, which we call and know as the church. And as we reach out to one another and respond in loving ways to each other and to any who have need, we become a genuine koinonia, a fellowship of those who believe in Jesus Christ. Dr. Paul Brandt, in his most recent book entitled Pain, The Gift Nobody Wants, describes what it was like in London during World War II. There were nightly terrors of falling bombs and fire. but all were sustained by the sense of community that was developing below the streets of London and all of the underground shelters. A sense of camaraderie developed there between the standoffish Londoners, rich and poor, common folk and nobility, huddled together in common need, sharing food and being buoyed by each other's interest and goodwill. They shared stories of their common peril and made jokes about their common plights. Total strangers told stories of the loss of loved ones. And total strangers would gather in circles of love and friendship as they laughed together and as they wept together. The royal family, we are told, would frequently come down underground in London to bolster the spirits of those who were huddled there. But all suspected that they came to have their own spirits boosted as well. Above ground, many had lost everything. But below ground, they had found something they had never had before, a common bond where they could comfort and share with each other. It is that kind of community that we have been building here together for 75 years. And we tell in this community the stories of the family, of good times and times of challenge. We remember those who stood out and who stood firm. We are bonded by two realities, our love for Jesus Christ and our love and need for each other. It is our day of remembrance. 75 years of witness and service and sacrifice and worship. But there is a third word, and that word is confident. Did you catch the confident affirmation of Paul in the morning lesson? I feel sure, he wrote, that the one who has begun a good work in you will go on developing it until the day of Jesus Christ. Have you seen that poster? It's been widely distributed. Be patient. God is not finished with me yet. It is both an affirmation and a challenge. We're always in progress, not having fully or finally arrived. It seems to me that our greatest danger as a church on this 75th anniversary is that we might quit growing, cease to reach, and be content with what is. In a year when we celebrate our founding, it would be easy to be content just to look back, and it could become a mindset that would hamper our ability to reach for the opportunities of today and the promises of tomorrow. If we succumb to that temptation, we will be denying the great heritage of service and witness that has made us the church that we are today. We celebrate yesterday with joy. We rejoice in the vigorous responsibilities of today. But let me tell you that our greatest years will come tomorrow. All that has been is but a prelude of all that is yet to be. Our blueprint for the future is very clear. First, we shall build upon the foundations of our heritage, not sit on them. Our theme hymn is not sit down, O people of God, but rise up, O people of God. Dr. Samuel Shoemaker, an Episcopal clergyman, draws a vivid picture of people sitting in a train station. They listen attentively to the announcements of places and stations and the times of departure for trains, but they never go anywhere. They're actually just sitting there. It is a sad picture of waiting and perhaps even wanting, but going nowhere. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to any church, including this one. You remember the haunting lines of Rudyard Kipling? There's no sense in going further. It's the edge of cultivation. So they said, and I believed it. Broke my land, sowed my crops, built my barns, strung my fences in the little border station, tucked away below the foothills where the trails run out and stop. We shall not tuck ourselves a way where the trails run out and stop. But true to all that we have been, and true to all that we are, we shall reach for our promise today and tomorrow, and where there are no trails, we will build the trails that will lead us forward. Our blueprint is clear. We will build on the foundations of our heritage, not sit on them. But secondly, we will be open and responsive to new opportunities for witness and service at home and to the ends of the earth. New days bring new ways. Frederick Buechner has said, "The place where God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." And those things could be meeting and happening anywhere, and we need to be there. Our calling as a church requires that we be open and be listening to God's new adventures. He does not call us to be content with what is, but to joy in His work wherever He leads us. Our dreams will always summon us. As Shelley the poet said, we need the power to imagine what we know. I believe that God will empower us to know and to do if we are always open to His leading. I am confident that the one who began a good work in us will keep on developing us until the work we are called to do has been completed. He promised He would. And then I believe that we are not only to be open to new possibilities and build on the foundations of our heritage, but we must ask the present generation of Peachtree Presbyterians to sacrifice, to serve, and to share, so that we might meet the challenges that are before us and set a worthy example for generations who will follow us. For 75 years, to quote the Bible, others have labored, and we have entered into their labors. This is our day. We have our challenges to be met, to make it strong for those who will come today and tomorrow. And that is before us even as I speak. In the chapel at Belmont Abbey College in North Carolina, there is a baptismal font that is striking, hollowed out of a huge granite stone. And when you look at the font carefully, you will note an inscription. On this rock, slaves were once traded. From this rock, people are now baptized and set free in Jesus Christ. Let your minds linger on that reflection for a moment. From slavery to being set free in Christ, the rock of that font is a testimony to incredible sacrifices, sacrifices that faithfulness demands and requires. Our heritage summons us to do our best for good and for God. But the best of all, as we reach for our future, we know that God is with us. We know because He has promised to be with us. And He has said very emphatically, the one who began this good work at Peachtree will complete it. He was here at the first of it all, and He will be here at the end of it all. Recently, Governor Cuomo was quoted as saying that you're tempted all the time in public life to measure yourself by the reaction of the parade. If we are not afraid, because we are so strong, because we are now nationally known, we will face daily the temptation to measure our lives and the reality of our church's life by the sound of the applause. Applause is fickle. It can just as quickly turn to boos and jeers. If you don't believe it, ask Ray Goff. We must, at Peachtree, be listening to the drumbeat of eternity and build our lives and the lives of the life of this church on the foundations that last, on the legacy that will linger long after we are gone. I believe I can give you a clue as to what has made this church what it is, and will keep it secure in what it ought to be. I must tell you, as I am in my 24th year, that I wish I had 24 more years before I'm through. But time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. I sometimes feel like Victor Hugo, who, as the shadows lengthened for him, said that he had not yet said half of what was in him, or write, or had written half of what he had to write. We must use all that we have been given and enhance it. That is what will keep us strong, and that is what will keep us vital. We must use all that we have been given and enhance it. Irma Bombeck talked on a television show about this, and it is something that I cannot seem to let go as I've turned it in my mind in reflection before speaking today. All of us, one day, you will and I will face an accounting. And the dream that I have for my moment before God is simply this. I will be asked a question. Frank, empty your pockets. What have you got left of your life? Any dreams unfulfilled? Any unused talents that we gave you when you were born still left? Any unsaid words of kindness unspoken? And I will pull out the lining of my pockets from my trousers and find them empty. And my answer as I look at them will be this. I've nothing left. I've nothing left. I spent it all. I gave everything that you gave me. It is that spirit that has made us strong. It is that spirit that will keep us strong for Jesus Christ. And after all, that's what we are about. We give thanks, O God, for these moments together. We ask your blessings upon us. Send us forth now, not only to celebrate our heritage, but to claim our future. In Jesus' name, amen.